We've been studying God's Word, and we're still in Jeremiah and Isaiah. Jeremiah and Isaiah are long, and we're learning what they're saying. And today I want to talk about seeking the Lord. Let's think for a minute about things that get lost. Things that get lost. Okay, think about it. There's different levels of, or different rather, values of things that get lost. And so let's work together on this one a little bit, and let's kind of figure it out. Think about something that gets lost or that you've lost, but it doesn't end your life. It's kind of like you throw in the laundry, you pull out the laundry, and the laundry ate that one sock. And you don't know where it went, and it's lost. That kind of lost. Do you follow me? Okay, you might not even go look for it. Give me a few examples of things like that in your life that have been lost, but like, I don't really even know if it's that much worth my time to go search. Tell me, let's share with each other. Yeah. Okay. I got a hair, when my daughters were at home, there were hair things all over the house. All right, so we got a hair thing. I don't even know what you call those things. She said clip, I don't know. Okay, those hair things. Okay, what else? Yeah, James? Dude, I'd be looking a little harder for $20. Okay, so sometimes money, you're like, oh, where'd that bill go? And you wear your pants that you haven't worn in a month and you reach into pocket. Like, oh, there it is. It's in my pocket. Yeah, Perry? A pin? Okay. Not Abundant Life pins, of course, because you're giving those away to friends. All right. Maybe something like that. You lost it. I don't know. Whatever. I'll just get another one. What else? Glasses? As long as you got another pair, right? If you're like me, you panic when you lose your glasses. All right. All right. Give me one more just so we can fill up our board. Just your what? Your phone? Seriously? Can we hold that phone thought a minute? Because I think we got some conflict in the room over that one. What is that? Your key? Seriously? You guys are... You know, let's leave that one alone because I think you're getting into this zone over here. Okay, this is the zone where you better find that thing. Okay? Now, you're not going to die. It's replaceable. It's just a pain, and you really, really start looking, and you're like, oh, man, I got to find it. That, with all due respect to me, that's where my phone goes right there. And somebody said keys. Okay. All right, wallet. Okay, now you're rolling. Okay. Is wallet with two T's or one? Wallet's with one T, right? Okay, passport. Yeah. All right, now you guys are rolling. Okay, wedding ring. All right, that's all I got room for. All right, yeah, those are more important, right? You compare your wedding ring to a pen. Different value. You compare your passport to a hair thing. Different value. We kind of get the escalation. Some things you may not even look for. Like, whatever. Some things you go, this is important. I better find this, and I need it. And it's going to disrupt my life, and I'm going to look. I'm going to give it some time. There's another empty board in the middle. These are for the things that are so important that you give everything to find it. If there's a missing child, it wouldn't matter. You'd spend anything, go anywhere, quit your job. You'd do whatever it took. What else? Okay, spouse. Okay, now we're talking about people. Well, yeah, your spouse, you know, something happens, some disaster occurs. Okay, your health. Okay, if you lost that, that's good. So, okay, all right. Some people's pets are really important to them. I did not mean that to be funny. I was actually trying to be a little bit sensitive. Apparently it didn't come out that way. I'm going to leave it at that. But are you seeing the difference? When you lose something important to you, you immediately forsake other things. On this side, I've lost a credit card. Man, we were going to go on a trip a while back, and we found out that our oldest daughter had an outdated passport. And the rest of us were good to go. And it was panic for 72 hours of trying to find this thing and get it right and get it renewed and all that. Christmas, about 3 years ago, I lost my wedding ring. It just slipped off. I was throwing away a bunch of wrappers, and those big piles of Christmas wrapping that you get and all the popcorn stuff. And I was throwing it away. And in the process of throwing it away, it slipped right off. And I didn't know it slipped right off until a little while later. And I kind of, you know, I fiddle with it. I don't know if you guys do that, but you kind of fiddle because you know it's there. And I went, where is it? And it was gone. And it was panic. Everything went. The only thing I could think of was outside. And thank God I found it underneath the garbage, you know, can. It was rolled underneath. You stop everything when there's something important to you that you lose. Some things are not that important to you. You just get another one, no big deal. You know, what? It's a minor annoyance. Other things, they're important. You'll stop everything and you'll go find them. Other things, you will alter everything in your life to find them. Everything else pales in comparison to this list. This morning, I wonder where Jesus would fall in your list. Now, automatically, we might say just the right thing, and we'd say, oh, he's in the middle, he's in the middle. But if we look at our daily lives, and we look at how passionately, or how with energy, we seek after Him, if we measured our desire for Him by the energy in which we seek Him, which list would He fall in? Do we treat seeking Him like He's a hair thing? Well, I didn't get around to it. Later. Or, no, that's important. I should have, could have, would have sought the Lord today or in my life, but I feel the tension. Or is it, He's everything, and I must have Him? How would we really, truthfully measure that? Some things remain lost because we simply don't seek for them. It's not that big a deal. Other things remain lost because we don't even know we've lost them. Through lack of use, through lack of notice, it could be a couple of days or maybe even weeks before we realize, where'd that go? I don't even remember losing it. And sometimes our walk with Jesus can be the same way. That time passes and we don't even realize that somehow He's missing. This morning I want to talk about seeking the Lord. Seeking Him with our whole heart. Seeking Him earnestly. Seeking Him with passion. 2 weeks ago we talked about doing good. Last week we talked about doing the right thing. This morning we talk about doing the best thing. This is the best thing. It's the most urgent thing. It's the most crucial thing. It is the foundational thing. A lot of people can do good. A lot of religious people can do the right thing. But those crumble without the best thing. Without doing that, which is truly the heart of the matter. It's the relationship of the matter. That everything is built upon our seeking God. In Jeremiah 29:11-14, it reads this way. For I know the plans I have for you. Some of you can already start reciting this with me because it's a favorite for you. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. Let me read that last part again. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart, and I will be found by you. So this verse gets misquoted a lot. It gets plucked out of context, and it gets attached pretty much to any time we run into a problem. This is our Old Testament Romans 8:28. For those that don't know Romans 8:28, it's "For all things work together for good, and those who love God are called according to His purpose." Those are the two verses that we want to apply anytime something bad happens. Anytime we go through a difficulty. And in Jeremiah, if you read the context, and hopefully you've been reading along, you find out that Jeremiah is prophesying the ruin of Jerusalem. He's prophesying the ruin of Judah. And he's saying beforehand, you're going to be taken over by the Babylonians because of your sin, your idolatry, your hundreds of years of resisting me. I told you that if you resist me and if you disobey me, there will be discipline that will come. And my discipline now is the ultimate discipline. I'm going to destroy the country, take you into captivity, and you're going to be there for 70 years. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper. Yeah, after the discipline. After the hard time. After the struggle. We oftentimes want to quote this verse to get God to help us escape the trouble. God says, oh, no, 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 no. There's some things you can only learn by going through the discipline. So they're going to go through that. And prophetically, Isaiah says, and once you've gone through the trial, you're going to seek me. And when you seek me, you'll find me. Wouldn't it be so much better if Israel had sought him before he had to send him into Babylon? Wouldn't it be better to seek him before the urgency? Before the struggle? Before the trial? Isn't it better to get in shape before the big game? Isn't it better to be prepared before the disaster? It's good to see Andy back from the Camino. Welcome home, bro. We missed you while you were gone. He walked something close to 600 miles, right? In a month period. You can talk to him about that. How long did you have to train before you left? 6-8 months of training. Isn't it better to train before the 600-mile walk? It's always better to do what God says before. Amen? It's always better to seek God before. I want to teach you some things this morning about seeking God. Number one, finding God starts with seeking. He said, you will seek me and you will find me. We want to find God, but finding God takes seeking. That doesn't mean he's hiding, but it does mean that a relationship needs to be developed. The word seek in the Old Testament, it's a word that means to search, to consult. The word has been used to describe something that was lost or missing, to devote oneself to be concerned about. It's this center list. It's something that you will devote yourself to finding. Everything else doesn't matter. But finding that thing matters. That's the word for seek. When you seek me, you will find me. When nothing else matters, when he is the priority, he is the urgency, he is the one prize, that's the seeking that causes you to find him. The question for us today is, do we seek him? Jesus taught us this in Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. I love that passage because it's an if-then that's absolute. If you will, then God will. If you ask, it will be given. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, it will be opened. That still sounds like an easy, simple equation to understand. The problem is, we don't, as often enough, ask, seek, and knock. Well, we might ask and then run off. We might look for a minute, like after a pen or your glasses, and then run off. We might knock once, and then run off. That's not the seeking God is talking about this morning. We believe, we come to church, we read our Bibles because we're supposed to get through the Bible first lifestyle. We serve. God is looking for people who will seek him. This came to light for me a number of years ago, and I was still in youth ministries, and I was struggling with this. I was struggling with a religious Christianity. I was doing the good boy things that I was taught. I was doing the good Christian things that I was taught. But there was an emptiness inside that was void of that knowing Him. And I made a decision every day when I go to prayer, I'm going to first pray, and maybe I won't pray anything else, but my prayer will be this: God, I want to know You. Teach me what it means to know You. I don't want to know about You. I don't want to know Your history. I don't want to know just Your attributes. I want to know You. And as a result of that, prayer day after day after day, and digging into His Word day after day after day, my mind began to be more sensitive to His voice. My heart began to be more pliable to obeying Him. And then it wasn't perfect after that, because seeking is a journey. You can seek for a while and then slough off, and you have to kind of seek again, like getting in shape, and then you stop and you got to start at the beginning again. But I made that decision. And it's been an ongoing decision and a lifetime decision. And God truly became a companion to where I would hear His voice throughout the day, because I was actually listening for His voice throughout the day. I wasn't just saying, you know, my morning, thank You Jesus for my food type prayer, and then going off and doing my thing. No, I realized He was with me. I'd asked to know Him. And in the knowing, He became my companion. Sometimes I walk away from Him. Sometimes He asks me to do things I don't want to do. And to my shame, I'll obey my own passions instead of obeying Him. And it always turns out bad. Every time. God truly wants to be your companion. And it starts with seeking Him. When I married, Sandra and I became one flesh, as the Bible says. I was no longer myself. Now I was a we. No longer singular. Now I'm a plural. And because of that companionship, I ask different questions in my life. It's no longer what am I going to do, it's what are we going to do. It's no longer what will I decide, it's what does she think about this decision. It's no longer I want to go here, it's does she want to go with me. There's different questions that you ask when you come into a relationship, right? When you come into a relationship with God and you've sought Him and that companionship is developed, your life truly becomes different. Many times we pray because we need God to do something for us. God, I'm confused. I need to pray. I need to make a big decision. I need to pray. I'm feeling sick. I need to pray. I might lose my job. I need to pray. There's an emergency. I need to pray. We're good at those prayers. We're good seeking God when we have to. God is looking for people that will seek Him because we want to. Not just when we have to. And when we seek God that other way, it's actually a selfish seeking, because we're seeking Him for our benefit. We're seeking Him for what He can do for us. He's our God vending machine. I'll come to You, Lord. I'll even pay the price as long as I get out of You what I want out of You. And if You don't work for me, like we kick a machine and shake it and beat it and get mad at it when it won't produce what we put the money in to get. Many of us get mad at God when He doesn't produce what we think He should. The reason we get angry is because we're coming to Him for all the wrong reasons. God is God. He's a person. He's calling us to seek Him for Him, not for our benefit. This week, in the practical application part of your notes, why not start each prayer session like I did years ago, and I still do, simply with, Lord, I want to know You. I want to know You more. I want to know You deeper. I want to know You in a more real, intimate, literal communication type way. Maybe you struggled hearing His voice, and that'd be a good thing to pray. God, I want to hear Your voice more clearly. And God has promised, if you ask, it will be given to you. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be opened. If you begin to seek Him that way, your life will change. because you'll come into an intimacy with the Lord God. Number two, seek Him with all of your heart. Seems basic enough, but rather difficult to practice. Luke chapter 13 tells many parables in the Scriptures. Let me go backwards here. I think I got my notes messed up. Yeah, there we go. In Luke 13, there's many parables, and one of them talks about a pearl that was found in a piece of land. And in that piece of land, it said that the person sold everything they had, bought the piece of land because the pearl was buried there. That's with all of your heart. That's center list stuff. I'll give everything. I'll sell it all. I'll abandon it all to get that thing. And God says, I am that. He is the pearl of great price. Hebrews 11:6 says this, and without faith it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who what? Earnestly seek Him. He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. That's a great modifier. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says it in a different way. It says, acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your path. It's impossible to acknowledge Him in all our ways without constantly asking Him for input. When we seek Him, He's our companion. We want to know Him. So therefore, to earnestly seek Him means to include Him in everything. God, what do you want me to do today? How do you want me to give today? Where would you like me to serve? Who would you like me to serve? God, how shall I manage this situation? How shall I go here? Everything we are, everything we do, God must be involved. Like my spouse is involved in everything I do. I don't make any decisions on my own anymore. I consult with her. I make sure it's all right. Unless it's something so trivial in our lives that I already know. Some things I know her so well, I already know what she's going to say. We can grow up in God in a similar way. You don't have to ask God, God, should I be generous and kind to this person? God says, duh. Right? I mean, there's some things we know. Sometimes we ask God, God, should I give this? And God says, what do you think, I'm going to be mad if you give that? We already know His character and His nature and some things, so we can be free to do that. But we want to seek Him with all of our heart. Jacob's story in Genesis is powerful. So that Jacob wrestled with the angel. Chapter, I believe, is 32 in Genesis. And it said the angel, who is actually the Lord God, wrestled with Jacob. And they wrestled all night long. And it's a fascinating story. It says that as they wrestled all night long, Jacob said this, I will not go, let you go until you bless me. That's seeking with all of your heart. That's earnestness. Oh, no, 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 no. You're not getting away from me. It says, and then the Lord just touched him. Fascinating, right? How do you wrestle with somebody and not touch them? And then you touch them. And it's way different. Because it says when he touched him that second time, he touched him on the hip, and it said that Jacob never walked the same again. When God touches you, you'll never walk the same again. But what had to happen first was, I'm not letting you go unless you bless me. How many of us wrestle with God like that? My mother tells the story of her being baptized in the Holy Spirit as a young teenager. And she tells the story of coming to an altar of prayer, probably 14, 15 maybe, and saying, I don't care how long it takes. I don't care if they shut the lights off, they close the church, I'm not getting up until I receive your fullness, Lord. And that night she was baptized in the blessed Holy Spirit. That's seeking with all of your heart. That's an earnestness. You're everything. I'm not stopping until I find it. God, I'm not stopping until I get you. Maybe with that kind of earnestness in mind, we might have to admit that seeking God has maybe fallen into one of these other two categories. Because if that's what earnestness means, then maybe we have some improvement. You consider Him in every decision. You consult Him in every plan. You desire Him with all your time. You consider what pleases Him. You involve Him in your goals. You act with Him in mind. You talk to Him and listen to Him. You do what is important to Him. That's seeking God. If you start your morning, Lord, I want to know you. Second application. Start each day telling God, I want to seek you with my whole heart today. Help me to keep you in mind, serve like you serve, and love like you love. If you start each day, those two things, your life will change. Because you'll be coming in contact with the living God. Number three, God promised to be found when we seek Him. Proverbs 8:17 says this, I love those who love me, and those who diligently seek me, find me. There's another modifier. Earnestly seek with all your heart. Now diligently seek. And when we diligently seek, we will find Him. God promised to be found when we seek Him. It's been years and years ago before Sandra and I were married. It was the first year after we had met. And she immediately went, not immediately, but after a few couple of months, she went on a 9-week European vacation with three of her friends. And, you know, puppy love was in full force then. And 9 weeks seemed like an eternity when she was gone. And it was just the mopey and all the sad face and life is horrible and I'm depressed and she's having fun over there and life just stinks right here. It's kind of like Pam was feeling when Andy was on Camino. But the day came for her to return. And I remember like it was yesterday. I was so excited. So excited, and you got that awkward waiting to have the person come through customs. There's all these people, and the door will open, and one person will come out, and it's not your person. Next person comes out, it's not your person. And every time the door would open, you know, I'm pretty tall, and I could get up on my tiptoes, and I could see over most people. And I look up, oh, not her. Look up, not her. Look up, not her. I was seeking. I wanted to find the person my heart yearned for. I'd get up and the door would open and finally get up and I see that little blonde head coming. So I know who that belongs to. When you seek, you'll find. She walked through the door and we reunited and it was beautiful. And it was wonderful. My heart was at rest and the peace came back in because we were together again. When you seek God, you will find Him. He will be found by you. He's not playing games with us. He's not running away like some middle school chase game. He's here if we will seek. He's here if we will come. It's kind of like an inner hunger to find Him. But you know, we can pacify a hunger by eating other things. Somebody may put a feast in front of you, but if you had just eaten before, you may pass up on the feast because you're already full. Sadly, we can fill up on junk food and pass up the feast because it really isn't about the taste buds. It's about your body can't handle anymore. And sometimes spiritually, we filled ourselves up with so much other junk food of the world that when it comes time to hunger for God, we don't have an appetite. We've feasted on money and power and jobs and status and comforts. And when it comes to God, we're like, oh, God, I'm good. Everything's fine. You say, what do you mean everything's fine? You haven't stopped me. Well, because life is great, right? I've got all my money. I've got got my home. I've got my job. I've got my family. I got everything I need, God. I'll check in with you later. Those are all good things, but they can never be God. When you seek Him, you will find Him. When you diligently seek Him. Have we sought Him diligently? Like He's the last hope for our lives on earth? Practical application. Read your Bible knowing God will speak to you. Listen for His voice as you pray. He'll be found by you. God, I want to know you. Pray that in. God, I want you to be involved in everything I think and everything I do today. And as I open up your word, I know it's the God-breathed in words of life. I know you're going to talk to me. Even through some of the hard places of Jeremiah and Isaiah. You're going to talk to me. I'm listening, Lord. Do we seek Him? And then as we go out into the world, do we listen? Number four, remember the benefits of seeking God. Amos 5:4 says this, "This is what the Lord says to Israel, seek me and live." Matthew 6:33, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Psalm 34:10, "The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall lack no good thing." Those are good promises, aren't they? I know they're in your notes. Let's say them together, shall we? These are powerful. Say them with me. Amos 5:4. "This is what the Lord says to Israel. Seek me and live." Matthew 6:33. "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." Psalm 34:10. "The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing." God, when you seek God, it's an absolute proposition. We seek God for God, but God is so good. There are benefits too. Our problem is we get the benefits before God. When that happens, we start using Him for our own benefits. Why wouldn't we seek God? I got to look in the mirror sometimes, and I look at myself and I go, what is your problem? What's wrong with you? The God that created the universe, the God that spoke and the stars were hung in space, the God that spoke and the planets began to be aligned, they began to rotate around the sun, and all the other galaxies that are there, the God who breathed life into a glob of mud and it became living and bones formed, and the wonder of who we are. God is the awesome, omnipotent, sovereign, omnipresent, omniscient creator of all that is, and He is knowable. What is my problem that I wouldn't want to know Him? I've got to be the dumbest stump on the planet. I'll chase after... you guys know me this way. I'm such a goofball when it comes around celebrities and stuff. I'll chase somebody for an autograph. And I'll get all disappointed if I don't get it. And I go, oh, you know, bummer. I come out like I'm 13 again. And the supreme being of all the earth is standing right there. And so often I walk by too busy, too distracted, too self-possessed, too self-interested to even stop and give Him notice. Church, He has benefits. The all-powerful God will be with you. He will guide you. He will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him. He will fill you with the joy that's unspeakable and unknowable. He will fill your mind with peace that you can't even comprehend. He will give you a love for people that you once despised. He will strengthen you to stand under any pressure. He will give you a calm when everything is coming apart. He will give you an understanding when everything is confused in a world that is so politically crazy and backwards, and when people don't even know who or what they are. He'll give you an ability to wade through that with understanding. He will fill you with all of the good gifts, with all of the good wisdom, with all of the good fruit of the Spirit. God is there, and He's a good God, and He wants to fill you with this if we will only seek Him. What is wrong with us that looks at that awesome package of His goodness and say, I'd rather have this instead? Let's change today. What do you say? Let's change today and renew our seeking. Practical application. Each day, slow down. Take time to meditate on God, His creation, and His goodness. We got to slow down. We got to build in some margin. And little by little, we can begin to learn what it's like to invite Him in and be with us even in our busyness. I know we can't all slow down to a stop or go live on some, ivory tower somewhere and just commune with God all day, every day. We've got work to do. God knows that, but He says you can have a sanctuary in your busiest times. You can have a peace in your most hectic times. Invite me into that and watch how even your busy life can become a place of worship. When you've learned the discipline of seeking Him. And last, number five. This all works because God sought us before we sought Him. That's how it works. Not because we're charging each other up this morning and, you know, getting motivated and Emma and Deanna's baptism got us excited and emotional and we want that childlikeness to fill us again and okay, we're going to go out. All that's because of God. The very fact that you're even here this morning and wanted to come to church to leave with something is because God drew you. Everything starts with Him. Isn't He a good God? It starts with Him. You're here because He wanted you here. Sanctuaries are full all over the nation this morning because God wants His people to come and worship Him. Now, we don't always come aware of that, but that's why you're here. It starts with Him. John 15:16 says this, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." God chose us. John 6 says, "No one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him first." That's why we can praise Him, because God chose us. A bunch of years ago, you probably remember the movie Taken. That movie where the daughter gets taken and the father, Liam Neeson, he's got these skills. And he knows how to do anything. And he's like this brilliant, big white ninja guy. And he's got these skills. And he's 15-year-old movie, so forget the ruining of it. He saves the daughter. Okay, he saves her. And he rescues her. My oldest daughter, Laura, went and saw that movie, and I still have the message on my phone. I saved it. She calls, and she's maybe 16, something like that. I said, "Daddy, I went and saw that movie Taken today. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's about a girl who gets kidnapped, and her daddy comes and finds her. I was thinking of you during that movie. Because I know if anything ever happened to me like that, I know you'd come and find me." And I'm listening to that and I get weepy and I said, "But baby, I don't have any skills. I don't know how that's going to happen. We're going to pray a lot because I'm like no ninja here." But the point was taken. I might die trying, but I'd come find her. That's the heart of God. A father over a child. God came for us, church. God came for you. God came for me. He's drawing us. He's saying, "Seek me. I want you to know me. I've got a vastness that you don't know anything about, and you can. Seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I chose you. You didn't choose me. I came for you first. Know me. Feed on me. Drink. Taste and see that I am good. Let me pour out all my good things into your life." And yet, like the prodigal, we slog around in the pigsty sometimes. And the Father's house is so close. All we got to do is get out of the sty and go home. I want us to go home this morning. But we got to seek Him. The last practical application is thank God for being with you and loving you enough to die for you. Nobody knew to ask God to come and die. Oh, now that we look behind us, we can see all the prophetic clues, but they didn't know anything about that. Jesus came. And as the worship team comes on out to help me close up, Isaiah 29:13 says this, do not just talk about it, but it's got to come from our heart. Our lips can say a lot of things. Our lips can say, "Are we hungry?" But our behavior will determine if we're going to seek like this. Our lips might say, "Oh, I'll do anything." but we seek like we're chasing after a hairpin or our phone. What a disaster to lower God to a place of that value when He truly is the pearl of great price. How have you been seeking the Lord? You've been seeking Him like the God He is or like a missing sock? I think we can change today. I know I want to change. It takes discipline. It takes saying no to other things to say yes to God. It means sometimes staying up later to seek His face. It means sometimes getting up earlier to seek His face. It means not going some places and going to other places. It means saying no to some pleasures and saying yes to some disciplines. But I want to seek Him with all of my heart. I want to earnestly seek Him. I want to diligently seek Him. And I want to seek Him first. And then let Him add all the other things after that. And I want to thank Him as I do, knowing that He sought me first. Let's renew our seeking today, church, shall we? As Elise leads us in that song we sang at the very end, that touched my heart. I know it touched yours. About being thankful that we are children of God. Let's be thankful that we're His children. And let's renew our seeking today. When we sing it a couple times, I'll encourage us just with a little bit more and then we'll be done today. But as we worship, let's pray. Okay? Let's pray. Let's ask the Lord to help us seek Him more.